This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Welcome back. Hollywood Casino Press Box, all new 590 The Fan. Frank and Martin here till 12. Bob Ramsey in about 15 minutes. H. Balzer joins us now. He's one of the select few that are responsible for voting for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. H., tell us what happened in that room and why Isaac is not in.
How much time you got? You know, I'll just go back first before I get into that a little bit. Let's just say this. I had a sense as the day was developing that he was not going to get in, and I'll explain that in a moment. But what I was at least strongly hopeful of is that he would at least that he would make the reduction to the top 10. And at a couple breaks along the way, there were other guys who said, this was after my presentation, who said that they thought he would make the 10. I even had Dan Fouts, who happened to be sitting next to me, say to me that he thought up until the point when I gave the presentation that it was, if not the best, one of the best presentations in the room. So I was hopeful of that. And that was, at least there, you could feel there was progress. You know, he didn't make the top 10 the first couple of years, but at least make it 1 year, and so you feel there's progress. Not that that necessarily means anything, because things change from year to year. So when Edgerrin James made the final 10, who wasn't a finalist 2 years ago, I'm thinking, what was that all about? And as some said to me that, you know, they were, except for Tony Gonzalez, they were the only two, quote, offensive skill position players that were being considered. And the feeling was is that they kind of split votes. And you never know who was ninth or 10th and how many votes number 11 was behind 10. I would think that Isaac got a bunch of votes because I know he had support in the room, but James got more. And the other one who made the 10 that was kind of a newcomer there was Steve Atwater, who I thought should have been in the Hall of Fame 10 years ago. And some are finally starting to look at what he has done a lot closer. So that was in the top 10. What ended up, I believe, happening that created the class the way it was is that, A, you had four offensive linemen that were in the top 10 last year, and none of them got in. And now all four are in the finalists again. And so there was this sense that, hey, we have to figure out a way somehow to get an offensive lineman in. And while no one discusses and said, well, okay, if we're going to get one in, who should it be? The sentiment was that people should vote for one or maybe even two along the way, so that would at least get one through. And that's what happened with Kevin Mawai getting in. Then the discussion with Champ Bailey and Ty Law ended up being quite a debate between those two that was going back and forth. And I think it was so close between those two guys. And this was Ty's fifth year of eligibility, his third year of a finalist, like Isaac. And Champ Bailey was the first time eligible. And I think that whole debate there, in a sense, pushed them both through in terms of making it to the five. And then the last thing I'll add is that there's, over the last 5 or 8 years, there's been this feeling that we've got to start recognizing as a group defensive players, and that so many times guys go with all the numbers of the statistics that are all there for receivers and running backs and all those guys, but defensive players are, the percentages have been very low of defensive players who have gotten in. And so what we ended up with in this five-person class were, you know, three defensive backs, a tight end in Tony Gonzalez, and as I mentioned, Kevin Mawai. So I think all those things, along with having three first-time eligibles going in for the second straight year, is what essentially conspired, at least this year again, to keep Isaac from advancing.
H, I think a lot of us saw the breakdown. I forget who put it out there, but the amount of minutes on certain candidates, and I think, you know, Gil Brandt was like close to a half an hour. Isaac was like 7 minutes. I guess you could read that a lot of different ways. Hey, there was no debate. The guy's credentials are strong enough. We don't need to argue about it. Or Yeah, don't think he's good enough. How should we read it when we look at that and say he got very little discussion time?
It was shocking to me that when you make your initial presentation, which, you know, I did obviously for Isaac, once that's over, they open it up to the floor. The Gil Brandt discussion wasn't even a debate. It was like everybody wanted to tell their favorite Gil Brandt stories, which really weren't necessary, and it took over a half hour. The Ty Law debate, I'll just mention, some were mentioning how long that was. It was like 27 minutes, and Champ Bailey was only 9. Well, that's because the law discussion was that long because it really was not only about him, it was a combination of him and Champ Bailey as people were going back and forth. You know, the point was made, well, you know, Ty Law won championships and Champ Bailey didn't. And then those who support mentioned that Bailey, well, if he had Bill Belichick as a coach and was on the Patriots, he'd probably have some championships or he would have been on a championship team. So that's why the length was there for them. What shocked me, though, about Isaac was that there was no discussion. When I finished, they opened it up and nobody said anything. And I'm going, what's going on here? Last year, there was some significant discussion about Isaac, and maybe that was because Randy Moss and Terrell Owens were also in the class, so there was kind of more back and forth and things like that. And I made the point more last year that Isaac was every bit as deserving as Terrell Owens and Randy Moss. Well, that really wasn't part of my presentation this year because they're already out. You know, they're already in. And so I was a little surprised. David Baker, when that happened, he said, well, I guess your presentation was that good. And everyone kind of laughed, but it still surprised me. And I did ask a couple people that made comments last year, and one said, and one didn't really have an explanation of why. And then James Lofton, who of course was a Hall of Fame wide receiver, I do a show with him every week on Sirius about the Hall of Fame. I thought he would say something as a fellow receiver. And when I mentioned something to him, he said, well, you know, I had a couple of notes and I was going to say something, but it happened so quick that nobody else said anything that there was almost like a paralysis. And so then they said, well, anything else to add, Howard? And so I added a few more things and that was it. But I don't think that is a negative about Isaac at all. I just think, like I said, that the way it just developed with all the discussion about the other positions, that's what ended up, you know, favoring him. I mean, heck, John Lynch has been a finalist for 6 years in a row, and he hasn't even made the top 10 the last 2 years. So, unfortunately, a lot of times, I know it's excruciating for the player and their families, but a lot of times guys just have to wait. It's kind of the reality of the system.
What do you make of all this Julian Edelman Hall of Fame talk when the guy's got one-third the amount of yards of Isaac Bruce?
And it's not even the yards. I mean, I can't believe anyone who with any sane logic in their mind would bring him up as a Hall of Famer. And he's a slot receiver. He's not a one or two guy. He's very good at what he does. But I figured it out this morning. One of the points I made, by the way, on Isaac was that of a lot of the recent modern day guys at wide receiver, as the game has changed since the turn of this century, there's been 12 wide receivers that have been elected. Three of them finished their careers at either 1993 or before. And those guys had average yards per reception of around 16. Of the other nine, Isaac is third. The only ones with higher, Randy Moss and Michael Irvin. And then there's a few others. No one else. And then Isaac has 14.9, which is higher than Owens and Jerry Rice. No one else is at 14. And Chris Carter is at 12.6. And I made that point in the room. You know what Julian Edelman's average yard, it's not even the total, his average yards per reception is a little over 10. So how anyone could bring that up on the basis of one really good Super Bowl, he's a Hall of Famer, is just in another world. There's no doubt about it.
H, next year, Miami, there would be some symmetry. Isaac grew up in Lauderdale, so we played that card with Atlanta, side of his biggest catch of the Super Bowl. How do you forecast next season, and what's obviously there's carryovers, guys who didn't quite get in this year, and I understand the argument, the Art Monks, the Chris Carters, these guys have all had to wait. I'm just not sure, resume-wise, when you talk about second to Jerry Rice when he retired, I just don't get it. But look ahead to next year, for fear of all of us being wrong again, do you think he gets in?
Well, there's a couple things. You know, one, I hope, and I, you know, I read all the stuff on Twitter and all that. Oh, this is another example of anti, you know, from the NFL, anti-St. Louis bias, you know, all the, which, hey, if there was that, he wouldn't have been a finalist 3 years in a row. And he wouldn't have been a finalist last year when Randy Moss came in as a first-time eligible and Terrell Owens was still there. One of the reasons Edgerrin James wasn't a finalist 2 years ago was because LaDainian Tomlinson came in as a first-time eligible. So I do wonder if with Falk going in and Orlando Pace and Kurt Warner that there's this feeling, and I hope not, I think I might have to address that next year, is that, oh, gosh, there's enough guys from that team. I hope that's not the case. I don't know what's in people's minds, but you never know. I think, you know, that kept Jerry Kramer out of the Hall of Fame until he was in his 80s because there were so many Packers that win back in the day. So that's one aspect of it that I definitely will address. The other is first-time eligibles. Next year, the most notable first-time eligibles are Troy Polamalu, Reggie Wayne, Patrick Willis, linebacker from the 49ers, and Maurice Jones-Drew. I think everyone would acknowledge the only guy that has a legit chance is Polamalu. And that, so you, that leaves four spots for other players instead of two. And so, again, I would be very hopeful, and I'm going to think about this and maybe ask a whole bunch of people, you know, do I need to change my approach a little bit? I thought I've hit on all the hot, you know, the really strong spots, but I will be looking at that certainly over the next year. But I think that was for, you know, and Reggie Wayne, good receiver, but obviously he is not in Isaac Bruce's class. And I think most people realize that, and hopefully next year will be the year. But again, there's never a guarantee. And that's the one thing I always tell people. You just never know what's in the minds. People ask me all the time, what do you think is going to happen? I said, I don't know. I can't get in the mind of 47 other selectors, and that was certainly the case once again this year.
You mentioned the 47 other selectors. There's a movie, Runaway Jury, with Gene Hackman, and in that jury, John Cusack kind of ran the room. Is there the equivalent of a John Cusack in terms of Hall of Fame voters that runs the room?
I don't think so. I mean, there's a guy, Rick Gosselin, in Dallas. And he's very good with a lot of Hall of Fame numbers, and it really speaks from perspective. And he was one who often talks about the that imbalance that there has been with offensive and defensive players. And so I think that probably helped Steve Atwater get to the final 10, which is the first time. And he's only been a finalist. He's been a semifinalist 8 times in 15 years of eligibility, but a finalist only twice. And I would argue he's every bit as deserving as a safety as Troy Polamalu. And we'll see what happens, obviously, next year. But so he doesn't run the room and he doesn't say a lot, but he does, you know, talk about, you know, those things. John Clayton, you know, is one who kind of, you know, looks at the big picture type of things. And so he's listened to, but I don't think there's just one person that strongly runs the room. I think everybody has listened. You know, everybody is heard, and it plays out in the way the voting goes each year.
And I know some people are like, well, who cares? Hall of Fame, it's, you guys spend too much time talking about it, but it's also early February. We've got time. If Isaac Bruce is having this hard a time getting in with his numbers, what does it say for Torrey Holt? No chance or very slim chance?
No, I don't think there's no chance. And I think because he's been a semifinalist each year now that Isaac has been. I think that's been another thing that kind of worked a little bit against everybody, because all four of those guys with Falk and Warner, not Falk, he was in before that, with Pace and Warner, they all became first-time eligibles the same year. And so all of a sudden, they're all on the ballot for the first time the same year. And so, but Torrey and Isaac have been semifinalists for 5 years. So I do believe that once Isaac gets through, that Torrey, you know, hopefully will follow next. Of course, we're going to have some other receivers start to become eligible. 2 years from now, Calvin Johnson is a first-time eligible. The next year is Andre Johnson and Steve Smith. So, I think Torrey is right there with all those guys. And by being a semifinalist, that's still being considered strongly. So, no, I don't dismiss Torrey as having a shot at all. You know, the one thing that's interesting is Torrey was on I think he was second team all decade of the 2000s, which I think can be misleading because Isaac wasn't first or second team in either of the decades he played in, but his career started in 1994. And so there were no other skill to in either the 90s decade or the first decade of the 2000s. There was no skill position player that began his career in 94. So I think that can be maybe overhyped a little bit, but obviously, you know, Torrey, by being considered in that group, people understand what he did. So I will remain hopeful for him, but bottom line is, like I said, it's probably not going to happen. He won't get in that room until Isaac is out of there and inducted.
L.A.'s own Howard Balzer.
H, good stuff. We'll talk soon. Thank you, sir.
All right, guys. Take care.
Howard Balzer joining us. That segment was brought to you by our great good friends at Maryvale continue to build a more diverse and inclusive campus, core value of the institution and one of four pillars in Maryvale's strategic plan. By the way, I would not discard Reggie Wayne. He actually has more catches than Isaac. Isaac has more yards. Isaac has more touchdowns and a higher yards per catch. Reggie, two more Pro Bowls. So it's pretty close. I mean, it's really close if you look at the whole body of work. But the fact that Isaac's been waiting, you'd think it's his turn.
Yeah, boy, wouldn't that be sort of kick to the shorts, Reggie?
Isn't Wayne also from Miami?
He
went there?
You know, it's funny you say that. I was watching the NFL Network last week, and they had him on, and they were talking about Super Bowls, and I guess the Colts played in Miami. And they go, hey, that was great for you because you're from Miami.
Oh, they lost that game.
But they said, you were in your hometown of Miami. He said, well, I'm actually from New Orleans, but I did play college ball at Miami. And I kind of laughed out loud because we all make these mistakes all the time. And you just said exactly what
I just assumed.
NFL Network said, aren't you from Miami? He's like, no, I'm from New Orleans. Like, well, you played at me. He goes, well, I went to college at Miami. But you're right. There's a little tie-in there. The rest of the names he mentioned, you know, the Patrick Willis.
He mentioned Polamalu.
Polamalu, yeah. But there were a couple more. I was like, yeah, I think he's in good shape, but I'm afraid to say that.
Yeah. All right, we'll take a short time out. We'll talk a little Billiken basketball with Billiken Bob when we come back.